It's time for America's most unique motorsports show, Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor, brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to Mostly Motorsports. I'm Scott Traylor, along with producer Austin O'Neill. Kirk Elliott sitting in with us, as he does each and every Monday, as we talk about what happened over the last weekend. Kirk, how you doing? You doing all right, bud?
I'm doing great, man. What a weekend of racing.
Lot to talk about, man. We have got plenty to talk about today. I'm not sure where we want to start off with, really, to be honest with you. I think maybe we ought to probably start off talking about the World of Outlaws at Lakeside Speedway and I-80 for this weekend. Austin, you were up at I-80. You were up there for that race. Tell me what you thought about I-80 with the World of Outlaws on Friday night. What did you think?
It started off pretty rough, I'll be honest with you. So it got some rain like on Wednesday night, and I don't think it really affected the track that much, but it was a factor in it. And then it was like a
heavy
when the rain moved in and brought a cold front in, so it was cold like on Thursday and then Friday, and all day Friday it was like drizzly and 25-mile-an-hour winds and cloudy, so
cold,
you know, and very cold. So they went out there and dumped a ton of water on it and
made it,
you know,
heavy.
With the cloud cover and it being cold, the water just didn't go anywhere besides just sit on top of the track, and it made it really heavy, and it was so heavy that it's the first time I've seen it in a long time that the Outlaws had to run two sets of hot laps just to get the slime and the grease blown off the track in the first set. And still, by the time we went qualified, it was still a very narrow one-lane groove, and if you stepped out of it just a little bit, you're in the grease, and you killed your lap. And you know, besides that, you know, they got the sport mods out there, and they helped kind of run the track in a little bit. But
did it help much?
It helped a lot. You know, they had just about the same amount of sport mods as they did 410s, and they had 44 tens and I'm going to say 30-35, you know, sport mods. And, you know, between us running, you know, four heat races and a B main and them running about the same amount in a B main, it allowed the track to kind of widen out a little bit. Still, it wasn't up to the wall like it was, you know, a couple of weeks or what everybody's used to seeing up there.
Right.
But still, I mean, I-80 is super wide compared to a lot of tracks, and it still put on really good racing. And by the feature time, it had a good Kirby Galena on, and the, you know, bottom finally got the grease blown off of it. The guys could go down there and make some runs, and the middle was still kind of somewhat dirty, and it wasn't a bad dirty. It was that you could, you know, run through the dirty stuff and still have grip and get going. And we saw, you know, a pretty good race, you know, in the feature between you know, gravel, and towards the end of the race, you know, Sheldon made a big run, but just you know, ran out of time.
Yeah. Who did you think was the fastest car up there on Saturday night? Was it David Gravel, you think?
Yeah, I think
the fastest car doesn't always win sometimes, right? So was Gravel the fastest?
Yeah, you know, Gravel had a good car. You know, Riley and I were sitting there watching the feature on top of the trailer, and, you know, the first handful of laps, you know, Gravel had, you know, the best car because he was kind of just pulling away from the field just a little bit. And everybody else just kind of was racing, you know, in their own little pack. And then, mm-hmm. you know, about halfway through that race, you know, Sheldon got really fast and had a big run going and just ran out of time. So, you know, the first part of the race, I think you could maybe give the fastest car to Gravel or Gio, because Gio kind of came up through the field after he had a flat left front tire. You know, he didn't really have – I think he could have got farther up through the field than he did. Just the track really didn't allow him to do that. But – I would probably get the fastest car maybe to Sheldon.
Did Giovanni, do you think he ran over something, cut that tire?
No, he got fed a right rear on the backstretch by Carson Macedo.
I didn't see that part. Yeah. So Carson Macedo, give it to him, huh?
Yeah, they just came off. Carson came off the bottom and was tight, and Gio was kind of there, but still had, in my eyes, he had the position over Carson, but you can't see the outside the right side of the car. He really didn't know he was there. He thought he cleared him off the bottom and just came up the track. And racing deal, hit him in the left front. They don't run left front bead locks.
Knocked
the bead
off the wheel.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Wow. How about that? Kirk, you were at Lakeside Speedway on Friday night. I mean, on Saturday night, I should say. And a monster crowd there, wasn't there?
Big time crowd.
Yeah.
And Austin was there as well, helping Riley Kreisel out. And yeah, that's the biggest crowd we've seen at Lakeside Speedway for a good long while. They've had a lot of special events at Lakeside Speedway this year, but the crowds have been, you know, not that great. But here we are at the tail end of the season, October 15th, and it was a huge standing room only crowd at Lakeside. Big event. I thought it was a good show. Track was great. And all in all, a wonderful night of racing.
Happy for Lakeside Speedway to have such a big crowd out there like that. Man, that's really good. James McFadden ended up winning that race. Giovanni Selzy was second. David Gravel third. Your thoughts of that race, Kirk?
That was it got pretty dicey there in the early going of that race. Looked like Gio Selzy was going to be the man to beat. And then here comes Logan Schuart up there to mix it up. Schuart jumped his way up to the front. He faded there a little bit, but James McFadden able to make that pass on Gio Selzy for the lead after starting in third place. But I was surprised that Gio, who won this race last year, wasn't able to hang on to it there. But I think McFadden just had a better race car.
Yeah, Giovanni ended up running second. James McFadden, now, Austin, I'm going to ask you this question. The Roth car, the 83 car, for the last several years, we haven't seen the performance out of this car that we've seen with James McFadden behind the wheel. Would you agree with that, that James McFadden has carried the 83 car as well as anybody? Would you agree with that, Austin?
I think so. I think Pittman did a good job for the time he was.
He won one race, though, didn't he?
Yeah, and, I mean, look at McFadden's year. This year he's won one race, too.
That's true. That's true.
So he hasn't really set the world on fire, and he's just had some bad luck, and he should have won maybe four or five by now. I know he should have. The one that stands out in my mind is Skagit when he blew up, or the shifter broke, one of the two. We still don't know. You know, back, I think, was that the first part of September?
Somewhere around there.
So, yeah, I mean, that car is just.
But he's carried that car up there. But hasn't he been up there in contention more so than anybody else prior to driving that car? Would you?
Yeah, I guess you could maybe say that. I mean, they had Casey in it at the. Actually, I think Aaron was probably the best one that they've had in it. Maybe the past two or three years. You know, Aaron was really fast in that car until he got fired from it, and then they put Casey in it, and Casey was all right. I mean, Casey's still performing the same as he did. In the 83 car as he is now in his 9 car, maybe a little bit better in his own car. And now McFadden's in it. And you only had, I feel like, two superstars in that car or two really good drivers in Aaron and James McFadden. So, I don't know. I think he's doing an all right job.
So, you think that James McFadden and Aaron Reitzel are the two best drivers they've had in that car in the recent years, is what you're saying?
For sure.
Yeah, no doubt.
You know, the big surprise the other night, Garrett Williamson qualified sixth in that race, and he finished in the transfer to make the fast pass dash.
Did he won his heat, didn't he?
He finished in the...
He won the second heat race.
Yeah.
At Lakeside Speedway, Garrett Williamson did, right?
Yes, he beat Logan Schuart.
Right.
And so he made the transfer for the pill draw. They bring all the top two finishers out of each of the heat races down to draw for where they start in the fast dash. So to make that was quite a night for Garrett Williamson. But the bad thing of it is, right, rolled out for the start of the A main, they had some issues, didn't they, Austin?
Yeah. Did we find out
The race even started?
Yeah, that's two nights in a row Garrett's had issues. So he was going to start decent, I think, at I-80, around the top 10 area. And the wing slider bolt fell out under forming the field. So, you know, he came in the hot pit, got it fixed, and had to start last and didn't really do much. That was I-80. And then
on Saturday night, what happened to him?
Yeah, so on Saturday night, I saw on Facebook that he had a shake in the rear end. And they decided just to pull off and not chance anything.
He would have started seventh in that race.
Right, no doubt. You got to give Garrett Williamson some credit, though, don't you? I mean, that kid, he's getting up on the wheel right now, and he's seems to be a little bit better in the 410 than he was in the 360. Anybody disagree with me?
It's a lot easier to drive a 410 than it is a 360. You have more power, and the way Garrett's driving style is, Garrett can make some more mistakes maybe and drive out of it. Everybody that races 410s that came from 360s say it's a lot easier, and the horsepower saves you. You don't have to be dead on perfect every lap, and you could make some mistakes. You don't want to, but you can. And it makes the racing so much easier. And some guys, it's just maybe in their style too. They excel with more horsepower, or they don't. Mm-hmm. And also something that maybe a lot of people don't know about with Garrett right now is, you know, when he ran with the National Tour, you know, he had a full-time crew, you know, a couple guys. Now it's just Garrett, one crew member, and his girlfriend. That's it. So mm-hmm. they're going out there with limited help and still putting on, you know, good performances, you know, this weekend, and they did, you know, the week before at Dodge City, where he won the Steve King race.
You know what I've always been told? When you get up against a curb and you need some wheel spin, all you need to do is just stomp on the gas on a 410, and it will spin the wheels. You know, in a 360, when you get up against the curb and you try to stomp on it, it won't always wheel spin, right? Will you agree with me on that a little bit there, Austin? Being able to get the wheel spin a little bit more with the 410?
Well, for sure, but in a 360, you're still going to have wheel spin.
But what I'm talking about,
when you're buried in the curb, yes, you're still going to have wheel spin.
Yeah. Well, I've been told that the 410 is easier to get the wheel spin out of than it is the 360.
Yeah, I mean, you have 200 more horsepower.
Right, yeah.
We only really had one incident the whole night during the B Main. They call it the last chance qualifier. We had Christopher Thram and Alan Gilbertson get in trouble down there in the first and second turn. Did you see how that happened there, Austin?
I did not. I was on the hill coming off of four, and with, you know, a full grandstand, it's hard to see, you know, going into one and coming off of two. I saw a white car come across the track and then a shower of sparks. I missed it. I think Third Vision missed it as well. But open red in the B Main, we don't see that very often. First time I've been a part of an open red, or no, second time. So that was an experience I can mark off my checklist.
What about that open red at I-80 where they had those cars were drinking a lot of fuel up there, weren't they? One guy ran only seven, or one car, I can't remember it was, ran only seven laps. He poured two jugs of fuel in the car.
Yeah.
Well, that's got to be a mistake, doesn't it?
No, it's just the air was... I think I'm saying this right. The air was really good up there with it being cool, and the cars were making a lot of horsepower, and the fueling was really good on it. So we were going through a lot of fuel, and you know, a lot of those, maybe that's a lot of fuel to put in and that short amount of time. But I know guys that, you know, went out there and ran 30 laps with a 28-gallon tank that were going to be really close if they didn't have that fuel break, and probably were going to maybe run out with a handful to go if they had a small tank on.
Yeah,
but even for a big 33-gallon tank, I mean, anytime you get an open red, you're gonna want fuel no matter what.
Back to Lakeside Speedway again here in Kansas City, Missouri. The track was in pretty good condition last Saturday night, wasn't it?
Yeah, I thought it was in great shape. Did you, Austin?
Yeah, it was. I didn't know what to expect, you know, going in there, because we've seen National Tour shows this year have a really slick track to a big curb, and you walk out there before, you know, hot lap started or motor heat, and the track was really juiced up, and with the cool temperatures, I was a little nervous that it maybe wouldn't blow off and get really slick, and it took a little while to do that, but, you know, it still put on really good racing, and, you know, guys could use the bottom and the top, and I had something, you know, a little bit to lean on the top, not a whole lot, but you walk out there, and it was fluffy enough it would stick to your foot, so... in my mind, that's a good racetrack.
Hey, with Ayrton, is Chad no longer with the team?
Yes, Chad and Ayrton split on Monday, or a week ago from today.
Do we have any information on why that happened? Do you know?
No, I wasn't. I wasn't told.
Privileged to that information. Nope. Yeah.
So who's he got guy now?
He's got his dad wrenching on the
his
car
dad.
Now.
Okay.
Yeah. You know, what do you think about that? I think Chad's pretty good crew chief, though, don't you?
Chad's really good.
Yeah.
You know, Chad's, you know, what got Brown, I feel like, to, you know, his level that he's at right now. He's what made Brian Brown, Brian Brown, and he has a ton of experience and, you know, a lot of just in the Midwest in general, and he's been to a lot of places, you know, both on the East and the West Coast. And, you know, we saw it in Erickson's performance that when he went over there at the end of last year, even in the short amount of races that they had, you know, their performances, you know, night in and night out were, you know, bettering themselves, you know, each night. And it showed this year. I mean, he won at Knoxville and he had good outlaw races and he had good all-star races. And it was a partnership and that they needed to have. And it finally allowed Ayrton to get into, you know, good cars and go out there and show, you know, his talent. And he did that. And it's just, it sucks that they split. I think, you know, those two could have done something really big, you know, maybe, you know, that next year, the year after, but, you know, things happen for a reason.
Do you think Garrett Williamson could have ran in the top 10? Do you think so?
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, easy.
Yeah. You look at that the way that race ended, it got to lap traffic, and the top three and four were all right there together. So mm-hmm. if Garrett starts, where did he start, sixth or seventh?
Seventh.
Seventh?
Seventh.
Yeah, I mean, Garrett gets a good start and is running fifth or so, and they all get the lap traffic. You know, Garrett might, on the far end, might have a shot at winning that race, if not a top three.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no doubt about it. You know, I got to say it, old Terry McCarl, he didn't show up much, did he? He ended up running 24th. Did he pull off the track?
Yes.
He didn't have a good night at all.
Yeah.
Of course, he hadn't been running a 410 that much this year. He'd been running 360 stuff a lot up at Knoxville.
So. Right. He hadn't been doing a lot of 410 stuff. No. How about Aaron Reitzel? What happened to him? He started sixth. He ended up running 21st. What happened to Aaron Reitzel?
He was one of the yellows. He slowed on the backstretch. I'm not sure. I haven't heard
mechanical
what happened
problems
to him.
Most of some
likely.
Sort.
Mm.
Yeah, I don't know. But, you know, a few of these guys would talk about Aaron. Garrett Williamson possibly ending up in the top 10. You still had some guys that came from the back. Jacob Allen, 17th to 10th. Zierfoss started 10th and ended 9th. Let's see. Donnie Schott started 15th and ended up 8th. Carson Macedo, 13th to 7th. And Logan Schuart, he was the guy that dropped back. I was really surprised Logan Schuart didn't run that well. He faded there after he grabbed the lead there from Gio Selzy, didn't he, Austin?
I think probably the most disappointed guy probably would be Brian Brown. He started ninth. He ended up running 14th. That's not Brian Brown standards.
He didn't have a good
Lakeside
Speedway. He didn't have a good trip out at Pennsylvania, at Port Royal, the last weekend out there. So I'm not sure what's going on there. But he qualified relatively well. He was in the top 10 in qualifying, but just didn't finish it up.
You know what was cool to see out there Saturday night at Lakeside Speedway was Clinton Boyles racing out there.
Yeah.
He started 10th in the B main. He ended up running 5th. He didn't make the A main, but it's always good to see Clinton drive a wing car, right? Anybody disagree with me on that? It's always good to see him out there.
And he helps Hunter Schoenberg. Was Hunter Schoenberg, was he even at I-80 the other night, Austin?
No.
I didn't think he was up there.
Mm-hmm.
So they just showed up at Lakeside Speed. Well, I got a little bit of sound here from...
Yeah, let's go ahead and play it.
James McFadden, the winner from Saturday night, and here's what he said to me after the race.
You know, I got not a great start, so I'm like, man, we're just going to drop a spot here, and found a really good line in the middle of 3 and 4 and was able to pick them off. You know, it all worked in our favor tonight, and it's been a trying year, but to do it was unbelievable. Our car was great, so I could just move around sort of anywhere. Around the bottom here, I think for a little bit too long, and once I moved up here and ran my line down there, it was great. So good, always good racing with Gio and David and Logan and stuff. So yeah, it was nerve-wracking last 7 laps, but it was great to get it done.
Roth Motorsports, been around World of Outlaw Racing a long time there. Just how big that is for Roth to get a win.
Yeah, it's you know, it's been a tough year for Roth with the junior car and with the Outlaw car. We've been close. We just haven't been able to get a win. So, you know, Dennis is a guy that likes to win. You know, and you get 70 races into a championship and you hadn't won a race. It's pretty important to get it done. So, hope he's happy. Hope Therese is happy. And you know, just like I said, it gives us a lot of confidence and you know, it pays back all my guys and Dennis and Teresa for giving me the opportunity and working their butts off to give me what I need.
You're starting to work some lap traffic tonight till that yellow came out. Just was that big that yellow came out, that you were able to kind of get away from there and didn't have to worry about lap traffic?
Yeah, I was actually really good in lap traffic, so I didn't mind it. I could sort of run a line that I feel like none of the guys in front of me could run, so I was happy with it. You know, cautions are tough. I didn't know how many laps we were in. I didn't know, you know, whether I was running the right line, so I didn't really know where to be, but I felt my car was really good anywhere I sort of put it, so I was confident that we were going to be okay.
Was the track just about what you expected tonight, and did it change?
Yeah, it changed. It was hard to hit the middle there, but it was also, you know, if you got it right, it was really, really good. And, you know, you pounded the top over here. It was super slick on exit, so you sort of didn't know. Like, it was a tough race to know where you needed to run. But, yeah, we ran the right lines.
You had a good run on Friday night at I-80 Speedway. How much confidence did it give you coming in here tonight?
Yeah, you know, the last probably month we've become pretty fast, like been able to put the whole night together. So, yeah, I'm just happy, man. I'm happy to get a win. It was starting to get old talking about it. So the confidence is up, and my car feels really good. And, you know, when all that sort of stuff works, it's fun to be out here.
There he is, Saturday night winner James McFadden from the Northern Territory of Australia. And he takes his shoe off and pours beer in it and drinks it right there in Victory Lane. I guess that's a tradition. I didn't know it was.
It's an Australian tradition.
Did you know that?
Yeah. No, I've seen that done before.
Oh, you have?
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
So then he put his shoe back on.
You know, it was a big night because it was also the same night that they had the Dennis Roth Classic at Thunderbolt. Rico Abreu picks up the win there. So it was kind of a big night for everybody, wasn't it? I mean, here it is, James McFadden. He wins at Lakeside Speedway. And then on the same night as the Dennis Roth Classic at Thunderbolt in Tulare, California, Rico Abreu picks up the win there as well. And go ahead.
I think Dominic Selzy finished second to Rico, too, did he?
I believe he did. Yeah. Dominic Selzy was second, and Corey Day was third. Justin Sanders was fourth, and Justin Peck was fifth. So there's your top five guys at the Dennis Roth Classic.
Big night for Dennis Roth.
It was. That was a big night for him. What do you think about that, Austin? How about that? Winning on the same night that Dennis Roth has the classic out there at Tulare.
Yeah, it's kind of like someone wrote that story for like a book, you know.
Right.
And, also, something cool that happened, you know, leading up to the Dennis Roth race is Dominic ran a Todd Ventura throwback car. It was the first car that Dennis owned that Todd Ventura drove. Is the scheme that Dominic chose for him to run second. I know he would have probably liked to win that race, but imagine what the story would have been if either a Roth car would have won or the Todd Ventura car would have won along with McFadden winning at Lakeside. That would have been a big story for Dennis and probably sprint car racing on across the nation.
And Matza got released from the 83 Junior car, didn't he? If I'm not mistaken,
I shouldn't have been.
I think I heard the rumor of that.
That's just a rumor. I don't know. That's first I've heard that.
I'm pretty sure that Tim Kading drove that car out there at the Dennis Roth Classic. Is that am I seeing that wrong right there? The 83 car. Ran seventh with TK in it.
Madsen should be in the 83 Junior.
Huh? I was told that he was relieved of his duties.
You're talking about something I don't know anything about. That's first I've heard it.
Maybe I'm wrong, but that's what I was told. Yes, Madsen's gone, says Tom Hahn. Yep.
How about that?
Yep. TK has been in it. There you go. So there you have it. Tim Kading back in.
TK.
Yeah. He drove that car. For how long did he drive that car? Austin, do you remember?
Quite a while.
He drove it for a bit, didn't he?
It should have been all this year.
Yeah. Hurst was in the 83 TK in the 83 Junior. Kyle Hurst did really good in that car, the 83 Junior car.
Kyle Hurst, good driver.
I like him a lot, man. Yeah. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about what happened down at Devil's Bowl this weekend. Hey, Marie, how you doing? We're going to take a break. When we come back, more of Mostly Motorsports. It's all brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works. Stay tuned. We'll be back with more in a moment right here on RBN, the Racing Boys Broadcasting Network.
You're listening to Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor.
There is less than 1/100th of an inch of motor oil protecting your car's engine. Friction and heat causes engine oil to experience thermal breakdown, weakening its ability to protect the engine and its parts. Lucas Heavy Duty Oil Stabilizer is specially formulated to resist thermal breakdown, protect vital engine parts, and extend the life of your engine. It also stops smoking, knocking, and oil consumption in worn engines. Lucas Heavy Duty Oil Stabilizer. Keep that engine alive.
Go harder, faster, stronger with Rod and Supply. Whether you are running industrial, farming equipment, or a race car, Rod and Supply has the assortment of rod ends, radius rods, and specialty products that will help you lead the field in performance. Our superior design means our rod ends last longer and perform better, giving you the edge on the track and saving you money. Contact Rod and Supply or order online today at rodandsupply.com. We don't just sell them, we race them. Rodandsupply.com, serving the racing community for over 30 years.
Next to your vehicle's engine, your transmission is the most important component of your car. If it's not properly maintained, your car may not shift properly. By adding Lucas Transmission Fix to your transmission, it cleans and lubricates sticking valves for proper shifting, renews worn bands to stop slipping, stops seal leaks, will not void new car warranties, contains no harmful solvents. Lucas Transmission Fix. It works.
Jared Specialty Sportswear in-house. We do all of the screen printing, all the embroidery. We do some vinyl. The other add specialty items like your pens, magnets, notepads, calendars. You can actually buy that, build your business to make it larger. We have the largest screen printing process and the largest embroidery anywhere around in the area. We can do stuff all the way from your school clubs to sports teams, a professional look in the office. If you can imagine it, we can do it for you.
Missouri's must-play getaway, Osage National Golf Resort.
3 9-hole whole courses to choose from at the Lake of the Ozarks in the Osage River Valley. Stay and play packages in our first-class condos. A beautiful clubhouse complete with pro shop and exercise facilities. A large pool for relaxation and families. The Eagle View Sports Bar and Grill. Great wedding facilities. Go online and make your tee time today.
One of the main reasons for poor vehicle performance is a dirty fuel system. It can cause decreased fuel economy and actually do harm to your engine over time. By adding Lucas Fuel Treatment to your vehicle, it cleans and lubricates the entire fuel system. Pump, carburetors, fuel injectors, and valves as you drive. It also improves your vehicle's performance. It's a non-solvent product designed to protect both gasoline and diesel engines. Lucas Fuel Treatment. It works.
Race fans, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum is open 7 days a week, year-round, for you to come in and check out all of the wonderful race cars on display in the museum. And our online store at SprintCarStuff.com is open 24 hours a day for you to check out everything that we have in stock for Sprint Car fans. Whether it's for a birthday, anniversary, or Christmas, SprintCarStuff.com has it all. That's at the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville.
At Lucas Oil, we take pride in creating problem-solving products to make your car care easier. We protect your vehicle and make it run longer so you can focus on the things that matter most. Whether it's commuting to work, visiting a loved one, taking the kids where they need to go, going to the big game, or anywhere life takes you, Lucas Oil is committed to getting you there for all of life's important moments. Lucas Oil, it works.
You're listening to Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor.
Welcome back to Mostly Motorsports. Austin O'Neill, Kirk Elliott, I'm Scott Traylor. Thanks for joining us on the show today. Got a lot to talk about. We're going to get into some more stuff right now. Let's start off. Let's talk about Devil's Bowl Speedway. I think a lot of came out of that interview with Lanny Ross that I did last week, don't you think?
Yeah, he was open and transparent about where they're at down there. The track has not been sold, but doesn't mean it won't be sold sometime in the future. But I think he laid it all out there for everybody to hear just exactly where they're at.
I think there's still a chance that Devil's Bowl could be open next year.
Could be.
Yeah.
I hope so.
As LR said to us in that interview, that they've been negotiating now for 3 or 4 years to try to get this done. And the parks that are around there, the I don't know what kind of park you want to call them. They're not a park. They're a industrial park, right?
Big buildings.
A lot of big warehouses going up around there. And the more warehouses that go up there, the more that drives up the value of the property at Devil's Bowl Speedway. So I got a feeling that eventually they're going to work it out and the track will end up being sold. But that doesn't mean it's going to be closed next year.
Yeah, we just don't know when.
Just don't know when it's going
to
be.
Is that close to an airport? Is that the reason why you have a lot of industrial buildings and so forth?
Now, you know the answer to that question.
Well, you've been down there more than I have.
Kirk, how many times did we struggle with equipment because of the airport next door?
You did.
How many times?
A lot, but you were there.
So you know there's an airport.
You were there to mess with it. I wasn't there.
I know, but you know there's an airport there.
Yeah. Well, I'm just for
you,
the.
You knew the answer to your
I
own
did,
question.
But I just wanted you to. It's just for point of conversation more than anything else.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's the reason why you see a lot of big buildings around that area is because of its proximity to that airport.
Yeah. No doubt. No doubt, and there's a lot of a lot of industrial parks going around that area right now. There's so many new buildings being put up in that location right around there. So let's talk about it. Blake Hahn, double dips down there.
What a weekend.
So just so you know, Blake Hahn had never won a Lucas Oil ASCS National Tour race at Devil's Bowl before.
Wow, I was surprised when you said that the other day.
Yeah.
How about that?
Yeah.
And not only that, he doubled up the whole weekend.
Right. No doubt about it. But that race on Saturday night was a little more interesting because he got around Chase Randall with a couple laps to go.
Chase had a pretty good lead on him there for a while, too, didn't he?
He did. I thought Chase was going to win that race. When you were watching that race, Austin, did you think Chase Randall was going to win that race?
Yeah, I think so. If he doesn't get the lap traffic, he wins it.
He hesitated, didn't he, with the lap traffic?
I mean, he didn't know where they were going to go. They didn't know where they were going to go either.
Right. But, I mean, listen, there's guys that just know how to get through lap traffic better than other guys. And Chase Randall, young guy, started on the pole, ended up running second. But I'm just going to say, I think he just waited too long to make the move on that lap. Who was that lap car? Do we know?
I don't know.
I don't remember.
Can't
who it
remember.
Was. Yeah. Mm-mm.
But, you know, you look at the situation, and, you know, the bottom's really good. And as a leader, you know you don't want to be off the bottom, because if you go to the top and,
right.
you know, you think you hear somebody behind you, which, you know, Blake was somewhat close. You open the door up and you can't get around the lap car. Now you're out of the lead. And you know, that guy has the door. Maybe that door opens and the guy in second gets by you and the lap car, and, you know, if you don't hear anybody, you know you can just maybe ride around, and, you know, that's just the benefit of running second sometimes. You know where to go.
With that being said, though, Blake Hahn made the move and passed him on the high side, ripping 3 and 4 to get around him. There was a lap car in there, and then Chase Randall was down on the bottom. But he lost his momentum, Chase Randall had, and Blake just kind of ripped it around the top in 3 and 4 and took the lead, right?
Yeah. It's a huge advantage for the guy running second, because he knows where everybody's at, to where to go. And Blake just knew exactly the move he needed to make, and, boy, he pulled it off.
You know, I was a little surprised there at the end of that race that Sam Heyfertieff kind of faded a little bit. You know, it looked like he was going to be right in the middle of it, and him and Blake were going to run for second place, and it looked like Chase Randall was going to go ahead and win, but Wayne Johnson ended up getting around Sam. And Steven Shebester, I thought that at one point, I think he got around Sam as well, didn't he? But Sam got back around the 23X car.
Sam ended up ahead of Shebester.
I know it, yeah. But Shebester got around Sam at one point during that race.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was surprised to see Sam, especially where he started in that race, outside the front row. You kind of expected he would maybe just run away with it, but he just didn't have the kind of speed down there that you'd expect him to see at Devil's Bowl Speedway.
Tim Crawley didn't have a good night. He started 21st, ran 17th. Not a very good night for Tim Crawley, who I thought at one point during the weekend, it looked like he was one of the fastest cars there, but he just couldn't make grounds on Saturday night.
Yeah, he started 21st. Anytime you have to start that far back, it's going to be a tough night. Would he end up 17th on the night? He's only got, what, two more nights of racing left at Creek County, and that's it for his driving, right?
Is it three nights or two nights at Creek?
Two nights.
The Fuzzy Fall Fling.
Yeah, we're going to miss Tim Crawley out there. He's going to focus more on his son now, right?
Well, he is. I'm sitting here looking. So, Creek County starts, the Fuzzy Fall Fling starts on October 28th, right?
Yep, 28th, 29th, Friday and Saturday nights.
Yeah. I think I'm going to go down there for that one.
That'd be a great event.
Yeah. You know, I was pretty close with Fuzzy, you know, back in the day. So
yeah, that's going to be a big night for the Hahn family.
Big night.
See if Blake Hahn can wrap up. He's, to my mind, he's all but wrapped up his second straight championship with the way he performed this past weekend.
Well, I'm not going to go too far on that yet. Let's see what the point spread is. Oh, well, maybe so.
It's over.
It's over. Yeah, Wayne Johnson, 147 points back now at this point. Is it over, Austin, do you think?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, you would know the answer to that. You've been on the road for long enough to see how the points affect or how the points work when you're at the end of the season.
The most amount of points I've ever seen made up in one year, it was 2011. Johnny Herrera lost the championship to Shane Stewart. There was four races left in the season. Johnny Herrera was 137 points out of the lead. He lost the championship by 1 point. He made up 136 points in four nights. So I don't see Wayne Johnson making up the points here at all.
It's just not going to happen. And, man, what a weekend at Creek County. Blake Hahn celebrates that championship on home ground, family racetrack, near the house. Last year, he clinched it at the Short Track Nationals.
Do you know how far Blake lives from the racetrack at Sepulpa?
Not very far. How far?
A quarter of a mile.
Quarter of a mile.
Yeah.
You're going to walk to the racetrack from your
And Tommy lives less than that.
Yeah.
From the racetrack. So, and Kaylee lives pretty close as well. So, their family, a lot of them live out there. And really, it's Kellyville. You know that, right?
Kellyville, Oklahoma.
It's not really Sepulpa.
Sepulpa is the bigger town.
It's the town right down the road a little bit.
But it's Kellyville is exactly where it's at.
Right, no doubt about it. Well, I'm happy for Blake to be able to pick up two back-to-back championships. You know, the rumor has it going out there that Blake wants to run some 410 races next year. And I got to believe, with the confidence of coming off back-to-back championships with the Lucas Oil ASCS National Sprint Car Tour, and what I've seen of him running the 410 sprint car, I think he's all but Knoxville. I think he's made every A main that he's ever run a 410 with other than Knoxville.
Yeah, and if you remember Knoxville, they had some kind of an engine problem right before they went out to qualify on the qualifying night. So then they had to go to the Hard Knocks night. But he still did pretty good on the final night. He won one of the Alphabet Soup races on the championship night.
I think it was the D-Main.
Yeah, the D-Main.
Yeah.
That's a big deal at the Knoxville Nationals. Yeah. When you win one of those Alphabet Soup races on final night, that's a big deal.
They give you a trophy for winning.
Absolutely.
It. Yeah, that's how big a deal it is.
And he did pretty well in the 410 car.
I'm going to tell you, don't be surprised if Blake Hahn is a better 410 racer than he is a 360 racer. I got a feeling that's going to happen. All right, Kirk, let's talk about this Garrett Smith picking up the Dirt Track World Championship. He picked up $100,000. This is the 42nd annual Dirt Track World Championship at Portsmouth, Ohio. Did you watch that race?
I watched that race. And, you know, it was a one-group racetrack, basically. I mean, there was no topside to that track at all. You better keep it down at the bottom of the racetrack. You're going to be in trouble. Garrett Smith started on the pole, and he clean sweeps the whole weekend. He wins qualifying. He won the heat race on Friday night, comes back and leads wire to wire in the 100 lapper on Saturday night, and he took advice from Scott Blomquist, who helped him throughout the weekend.
Stay on the bottom.
Son, stay on the bottom and don't get off the bottom. Yeah. And he did that. And they interviewed Blomquist during the middle of that race. He was standing in the infield watching. He said, yep, the kid's doing exactly what I told him to do. He's going to win.
Mm-hmm.
And he did. That was, I think, 15 laps before the end of the race or so forth.
19 years old, right?
Very impressive performance.
Isn't he the youngest kid to win that kind of money?
I think so.
Yeah.
I can't imagine anybody else. I mean, that is a heck of a payday, $100,000 to win. Tim McCready finished in second. He'd already wrapped up the Lucas Oil Championship for the second year in a row the week before at Talladega Short Track. So he was just going for whatever he could get.
Yeah.
And McCready said after the race, he said, that pretty impressive performance. There's not much I could do. You know,
yeah,
did what I could do.
Garrett Smith, at the age of 19, is the youngest driver to ever win the Crown Jewel event.
Yeah. And
How about that
race has been around. I think it's been several different racetracks. It's been at Portsmouth now for a few years. So a lot of heavy hitters over the years have won that race, and he's the youngest ever.
And our old boy Mike Mahler ended up running third, didn't he?
Yep. He had a pretty good run. Jonathan Davenport, not so good of a run. He had to start way back, and I think he ended up getting in the top 10, but not such a good weekend for Jonathan Davenport.
All right, let's go to the phones. We got a caller that's called in. I think it's Ryan Ragland. Ryan, how you doing, bud?
Pretty good, especially after Saturday night at the Lakeside. That was pretty stout.
Yeah, that was good. That was good stuff. What do you think about old Garrett Smith winning that championship up there, the world championship?
That was pretty awesome. That was, you know, like kind of like you said, that was a young buck taking the words from the legend and applying them and doing exactly what he was told. And that was the only pressure I saw him got was from Overton when he got inside him just once. And Smith, left a little space for Overton to get in there. He came around four, and he got momentum and got it back down in 1 and 2, and after that, no one even touched him.
Let me ask you this. Is this win more a reflection of the track being locked down on the bottom and there not being a top groove where somebody else could get up there and race him, or did he just flat out outrun everybody? Opinions?
I think he outran him. I mean, it was kind of locked down. There really wasn't a whole lot you could do outside, laying in a handcuff or something. And, you know, you didn't want to push someone out. But if someone was on his back bumper more often, yeah, then you could say the bottom was locked down. But this was, he gapped him and he kept him there. And I just think he was the best car all weekend.
Yeah, no, he put himself in great position by starting on the pole after winning that qualifying race on Friday night, and his preliminary rounds put him in that position.
Yeah, he got the pole in the heat race because he was fast.
Yeah. So, I mean, he swept the weekend.
And even Brandon Sheffer tipped his hat to him, saying he broke his record for being the youngest to ever win the world championship. And, you know, that's coming from another legend.
somebody said there was some tire issues going on there.
Yeah, several guys. Brandon Overton had a tire go down.
Yeah.
And yeah, there were some guys that had some right rears starting to go down, and he mentioned in his interview that he was just trying to make sure he didn't overheat the right rear like some other guys were, and got to hold on, and I don't know. There's supposed to be a late model tire that's supposed to be universal back, you know, that they're going to go to. We'll see what that's going to do with, you know, World of Outlaw and Lucas Oil, but that needs to get fixed. And I think part of it is, you know, guys are pushing it. When you're going 100,000 to win, are you going to risk it to be able to go just a tick softer to be able to get that speed, and hopefully you can baby enough to get it, you know, get the win.
Right, right.
That's you know, you're walking that fine line when you start putting 100K on the line.
Yeah, no doubt about it.
Hey, Ryan, you're going to be at Humboldt and 81 Speedway this weekend, right? World of Outlaws?
I am so stoked. I saw John Allen at Lakeside Saturday, and they're getting everything going. 81 Speedway is getting pretty much a paint job. They've got all the banners up. They're getting some new facilities up this week before they, you know, the Outlaws come in. And I'll tell you what, late model Outlaws at Humboldt is going to be a show. I've seen late models, you know, the super late models at 81 before. I even saw back when Freddie Smith won it with Havoc Tampa back in the 90s. And it's a great show at 81, but I'll tell you what, late models at Humboldt is going to be the show of the weekend.
What about US 36?
Sunday night. Yes, that's right.
Yeah, I won't be able to make it to that one, but yeah, that one, that's going to be bad fast. Where Humboldt is going to be tight and, you know, more of the, I want to see the Fairbury-esque look. I think that's what Humboldt's going to be. 36 is just going to be bad fast with that banking.
I'm going up there Sunday for sure.
Oh, I wish I could. I'll be watching for sure. I wish I could go there if I didn't have to get up at 4 in the morning. But
yeah,
I'm. If you have half a chance to make either Humboldt or 81, you got to go, because it's going to be. I think 81 that I saw is going to have A mods and B mods as support.
Where are they at Saturday night?
81 Speedway, Friday at Humboldt.
Friday night at 81, and then Friday night at Humboldt.
I might go to both of those races.
Oh, you got to.
I might just get in the old motorhome and run down to 81.
I'm probably going to stay overnight in Iola, trek over to Wichita, see some friends. Already talked to John Allen. I'm going to get an interview with him about transitioning from driver to promoter, track manager, and stuff like that, and that's going to be a pretty good one. And yeah, he's psyched up for it. He's put a lot of backing behind it, and I think in my mind, you know, you just got done with World of Outlaws and, you know, sprint cars in Kansas City. You're now getting the super late models in the central area of the state, and you know, you get a good turnout at Humboldt and 81. And this could be the start of something pretty big.
All right, Ryan. Well, we need to take a commercial break. Thanks for calling in, bud. We appreciate it. Appreciate everything you do for Racing Boys, too.
All right. Take care, guys. We'll talk to you later. And that's the stuff for you Saturday morning.
All right. We can't wait. There's Ryan Ragland, who always does us a good favor by getting in there and getting some interviews, and does a great job.
Yeah, it's going to be a big weekend this week. I hear it's going to warm back up again for the weekend.
Where are they at on Friday night?
Friday night at Humboldt. I'm going to try to get a hold of Ryan Gustin, who a former King of America winner down there. He's running the whole World of Outlaw late model tour. We're going to try to get him on the air this week.
Maybe we'll try to do that. I know that we are going to have James McFadden on this week. Blake Hahn's going to be on with us. So can't wait. We're going to get a few good drivers on, and hopefully we get Ryan Gustin on this week as well. So there you have it. We're going to... I need to take our final break, but when we come back, we're going to talk about the NASCAR race yesterday at Las Vegas.
Talk about Bubba
and Kyle Larson, And we're also going to talk about Jade Avedisian picking up her win as well. That's all next right here on Mostly Motorsports. It's all brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. We'll be right back. Stay tuned.
You're listening to Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor.
There is less than 1/100th of an inch of motor oil protecting your car's engine. Friction and heat causes engine oil to experience thermal breakdown, weakening its ability to protect the engine and its parts. Lucas Heavy Duty Oil Stabilizer is specially formulated to resist thermal breakdown, protect vital engine parts, and extend the life of your engine. It also stops smoking, knocking, and oil consumption in worn engines. Lucas Heavy Duty Oil Stabilizer. Keep that engine alive.
Go harder, faster, stronger with Rod and Supply. Whether you are running industrial, farming equipment, or a race car, Rod and Supply has the assortment of rod ends, radius rods, and specialty products that will help you lead the field in performance. Our superior design means our rod ends last longer and perform better, giving you the edge on the track and saving you money. Contact Rod and Supply or order online today at rodandsupply.com. We don't just sell them, we race them. Rodandsupply.com, serving the racing community for over 30 years.
Next to your vehicle's engine, your transmission is the most important component of your car. If it's not properly maintained, your car may not shift properly. By adding Lucas Transmission Fix to your transmission, it cleans and lubricates sticking valves for proper shifting, renews worn bands to stop slipping, stops seal leaks, will not void new car warranties, contains no harmful solvents. Lucas Transmission Fix. It works.
Sure, especially sportswear in-house. We do all of the screen printing, all the embroidery. We do some vinyl. The other add specialty items like your pens, magnets, notepads, calendars. You can actually buy that, build your business, to make it larger. We have the largest screen printing process and the largest embroidery anywhere around in the area. We can do stuff all the way from your school clubs to sports teams, a professional look in the office. If you can imagine it, we can do it for you.
Missouri's must play getaway, Osage National Golf Resort.
39 hole courses to choose from at the Lake of the Ozarks in the Osage River Valley. Stay and play packages in our first-class condos. A beautiful clubhouse complete with pro shop and exercise facilities. A large pool for relaxation and families. The Eagle View Sports Bar and Grill. Great wedding facilities. Go online and make your tee time today.
One of the main reasons for poor vehicle performance is a dirty fuel system. It can cause decreased fuel economy and actually do harm to your engine over time. By adding Lucas Fuel Treatment to your vehicle, it cleans and lubricates the entire fuel system. Pump, carburetors, fuel injectors, and valves as you drive. It also improves your vehicle's performance. It's a non-solvent product designed to protect both gasoline and diesel engines. Lucas Fuel Treatment. It works.
Race fans, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum is open 7 days a week, year-round, for you to come in and check out all of the wonderful race cars on display in the museum. And our online store at SprintCarStuff.com is open 24 hours a day for you to check out everything that we have in stock for Sprint Car fans. Whether it's for a birthday, anniversary, or Christmas, SprintCarStuff.com has it all. That's at the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville.
At Lucas Oil, we take pride in creating problem-solving products to make your car care easier. We protect your vehicle and make it run longer so you can focus on the things that matter most. Whether it's commuting to work, visiting a loved one, taking the kids where they need to go, going to the big game, or anywhere life takes you, Lucas Oil is committed to getting you there for all of life's important moments. Lucas Oil, it works.
You're listening to Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor.
Welcome back. It's Mostly Motorsports, all brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works. Want to remind everybody about the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum is giving away another Corvette, folks. This is a brand new 2023 Z06 Corvette. It's part of the Z07 performance package. It's a pearl white metallic. I said Metallica. metallic. Metallic tri-coat color. And they're also going to give you $25,000 in cash to help you pay for the taxes there. This is a 760-horsepower 5.5 LT6 V8 engine. It goes from 0 to 60 in 2.6 seconds. It's an 8-speed transmission. And this thing is a beauty, folks. The CO7 performance package includes larger tires, wheels, larger brakes, aero package. It's very unique when it comes to this. It's a Z06, but it's got the Z07 performance package on it as well. This is the 70th anniversary Corvette, and this is a great, great car. This car probably sells somewhere between $75,000 and $100,000, folks. You need to get on right now and go to their website to where you can register online. That's winazo6corvette.com, winazo6corvette.com. This is a great opportunity to have a great car. I'm a Chevy guy. I love Chevys. I've been driving Chevys about as long as you've known me, haven't I, Kurt?
Yeah, you're a Chevy guy.
I'm a Chevy guy through and through. So do yourself a favor, get online, go to winazo6corvette.com and buy you some raffle tickets for this great car. Don't forget about the sprint car that they're going to be giving away as well on December 15th. Can't wait for that. That's going to be good. And you can do that sprintcarraffle.com. That's it. Sprintcarraffle.com. I don't have it right in front of me. I'm a little punchy. I've had a couple of concussions in my day, and so it takes me a moment to remember a few things. All right, Kirk, let's talk. What do we want to talk about? Let's start
How about
off
this.
Yeah.
How about Kaylee Bryson almost winning at the Springfield Mile in her first ever Silver Crown start on a dirt mile?
Led 72 laps,
yep.
Didn't she? Out of 100.
Yeah, she, I'll be honest, I did not. I seen the announcement she was going to go run the mile this year. Or
you didn't think anything of it?
I did. I just didn't know how she would, handle a mile. That's a different animal. That's, for her, being used to just midget racing at the quarter mile and some half mile stuff, I didn't know how she would do with it. And she doesn't have a lot of starts in the Crown car. She ran at Eldora, during the Ford Crown, and that was about it. So, for her to go out there and put it on the front row and be the first ever female to be on the front row and be the first female to ever lead laps with the Silver Crown Series and her first start is incredible. And I think, if they don't have I believe they had a motor issue where it dropped a cylinder, and if they don't have that problem, and
maybe she wins the race.
She might win the race, but also, too, she's used to – she gave it away on that restart. She kind of pulled a midget move where she tried to restart on the cushion where the cushion was dust and spun the tires, and Shane Cochran was down in somewhat of the rubber and just got a big run on the front stretch and got by her. But
I want to pose this question to everybody, including the listeners, and I want you to type in, who do you think is the best? You think Kaylee Bryson is the best or Jade Avedisian is the best out of the two women that are racing right now? Out of those two women, those young ladies, who do you think is the better of the two? Anybody?
Oh, boy. I'm having a hard time with that one because we've seen Jade Avedisian do so well in what she has done, won a big money race in the micros out at Sweet Springs, $20,000 a few years ago, that win she picked off the other night down at I-44 Riverside. And on the other hand, Kaylee Bryson winning the B-Main the way she did, outrunning Blake Hahn at the Chili Bowl last year, and some of the things she's done, that's a hard call right now. I can't say who's better than the other.
So just so you know, this is Kirk Elliott. Kirk Elliott, I love him like a brother. I would do anything for him. Kirk stands on the fence a lot when it comes down to...
I can't say who's better than
Austin
Kaylee or vice versa. I don't know.
I bet Austin has an opinion on this. What do you think, Austin?
I think, you know, they're both really talented in their ways, but out of performance this year, I have to give it to Jade, but it's tough to split it and decide who's better. There's times where you can pick and tell, you know, Jade's better or Kaylee's better. There's times where they're both equally good. So sometimes you don't have to pick and you can ride down the middle.
Right.
Well, I just don't know which one of these girls are better than the other. They're both getting it done. But that battle that Kaylee Bryson had with CJ Leary, that was a very entertaining
battle
that those two were putting on the other day.
Yeah, no doubt about it.
You know, she qualified second. Where was Anthony Macri? He didn't make the show, did he?
He had what did he have? He had an issue with like the cam spud. Like, you know, off the back of the cam, it's a spud that the power steering and the fuel pump
work off
engage
of.
Into, and he didn't make it off of the A.
Oh, no kidding, huh?
I mean, you're going up. I mean, Kaylee Bryson, what she did the other day. I mean, you're going up against guys like Cody Swanson. Shane Cockrum ended up winning the race, but there were some pretty big time heavy hitters in that Silver Crown race the other day. And for Kaylee Bryson to go in there and qualify second and battle the way she did and lead as much as she did, that I know she didn't win, but yeah, that was very impressive.
All right, so let's move on from that, and let's talk about Bubba Wallace and Kyle Larson.
Don't you want to finish up with Jade Avedisian and that win that she had the other night?
She had a win. We talked about that already, didn't she?
That slider that Bryant Wiedemann tried to pull on her, and she had none of it coming off that final turn for that win down there at I-44.
All right. Fair enough.
Just hats off to her.
All right. Okay, Kurt.
Well, I mean, we needed to finish up how she won that race the other night.
It's NASCAR time, Kirk. I think
it's at the end of the show.
We got to talk about NASCAR now. We love NASCAR.
I don't love NASCAR.
We talked about it a lot last week.
I didn't even watch the race yesterday.
Yeah, but when somebody goes and throws punches, that's where you get interested.
I get interested when it gets a little WWE. Yeah, I do. So let me ask both of you guys and the listeners out there as well. I don't think Kyle Larson did anything with an intent to run Bubba Wallace into the wall. I think his car just got a little tight. It ran up the track on him, and he ran out of room, and he ran Bubba Wallace into the wall. But then Bubba Wallace lost his mind and hooked him down the front straightaway. Anybody disagree with me on that?
That's what happened.
What do you think, Austin?
That's what happened. It's the video doesn't lie.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, Kevin Harvick and Bubba were going at it, and, Larson saw an opening down on the bottom, and Harvick backed out of it. And before you know it, it was Larson and Bubba going side by side, and I don't think Larson meant to run Wallace up into the wall, but that's what happened, and yeah, Wallace lost his mind after that.
So, the real victim here is Christopher Bell.
Yes.
Right? Christopher Bell ended up running 34th because of this misfortune between these two drivers. Let me ask you this. Should Bubba Wallace be fined or penalized for his actions of hooking? Because, first of all, Kyle Larson hit the wall pretty hard with the driver's side door.
Yeah.
I've done that. I did that at Memphis Motorsports Park. It doesn't feel good, folks. Let me tell you. I got hooked the same way by another driver at Memphis Motorsports Park in a super truck race one time, and I pounded the wall with the driver's side, and it hurt like hell. Should Bubba Wallace be fined?
Yes
or no?
Absolutely. $100,000, and he needs to sit out next week at Homestead.
What did Matt Kenseth just get penalized with when he crashed Joey Logano in 2015 or 2016?
What was
that penalty?
Well, that was payback for what?
He retaliated. Bubba Wallace retaliated. It's right. The same thing. What was his penalty? But, he was out a couple races and he was fined.
But hold
Same
on a
thing
second.
Right here.
That was at Martinsville.
He still retaliated.
Listen, the speed they're carrying at Las Vegas Motor Speedway is way different than what the speed is at Martinsville. I understand where you're coming from, Austin. I 100%. I totally get what you're saying.
It's worse at Las Vegas than at Martinsville.
Yeah, because you're carrying a lot more speed.
Yeah, a mile and a half racetrack doing what Bubba did, that should sit him out at least one race, maybe two. And I hope NASCAR comes down hard on him. Not the least of which, he put a hand on an official after he walked over and threw punches at Kyle Larson. He's supposed to go to the infield care center.
Hold on. Let me ask people out there real quick. Did Kyle Larson kind of look like...
He wanted no part of it.
He kind of looked like a chicken, didn't he? Well, let me just tell you something. As you know, Kirk, somebody comes up and shoves me like that, I'm dropping them right there on the spot. I don't care if they can kick my ass or not. I'm going to give them a swing. And there's no way that I'm going to let somebody come up there and embarrass me like that in front of everybody.
Well, we know what you would do.
Yeah.
But if you're Kyle Larson and it's Bubba Wallace, yeah, he didn't want any part of that mix up. He wanted no part of that.
So I'm gonna say it. Is this because of what Kyle said last year, and because of Bubba Wallace being black? You think?
I think so. What do you think, Austin?
Well, that's definitely a big factor in it, and why put yourself on Bubba Wallace's level? Bubba showed his true character and true color yesterday. No doubt about that.
Yeah.
Why fight back and go back and put yourself on his level when he should have a penalty, should have a fine, and should be out of the car? Now, if you go out there and swing at him, you're eligible for the same thing to happen to you too for
right.
fighting. So it's better just to not be a part of it. Try get away from the situation and let Bubba take all the heat, which he is, and just. Look at all the social media and all the news articles around sports today. It's all on Bubba and hardly a word about Kyle.
That's right. And Kyle Larson handled himself, I thought, perfectly after that race, including the interview after the race
what
where he said,
say?
I don't blame him for being mad. You know, it is what it is. And, you know, he was just wanting to let it play itself out. And the way Kyle Larson handled himself took him away from the whole story, in my opinion. It's all about Bubba Wallace today. Because Bubba Wallace showed himself to be an ass.
Marie says that Kyle showed his professionalism.
Yes, he did.
Huh?
I was proud of the way Kyle Larson handled himself after that.
So, just so you know, I wouldn't have handled it.
I know you wouldn't have handled it that way.
There's no way I would have handled it that way. This is exactly why I didn't win championships when I was driving for points. I was always the roughneck. Always wanted to fight. Always wanted to rough it up. If somebody wanted some action, all they had to do is come to my pits.
But Kyle Larson knew that it wasn't going to do him any good at all to get into a fist fight with Bubba Wallace. So let's just try to tamp this thing down and walk away.
Yeah. Well, it's probably the right thing to do, but I wouldn't have handled it that way, just so you know.
So what do you think's going to happen to Bubba Wallace? Do you think he'll get sat down? He needs to be sat down for one, maybe even two races.
I don't think, listen, do you think he's going to get fined or penalized, Austin?
If he doesn't, it shows what NASCAR's all about.
They're all about the WWE, aren't they?
That and maybe more.
Yeah.
That we won't get into, right?
Frog says, I'd busted him up the side of the head with that helmet. I'd split that noggin wide open. Thank you, Frog. God bless you. At least somebody else thinks like me. I wouldn't have put up with it. No way in hell would I have done that. All right.
Bubba Wallace didn't help himself at all yesterday. I'll leave it at that.
Let's be honest. He looked like Danica Patrick, too. I mean, if you're going to crash him, but you can't crash yourself. I mean, that's rule number one of stock or racing in general.
Mm.
Yeah.
I mean, now you're an idiot for crashing yourself in retaliation.
I did that once.
Yeah, he made it much worse for himself.
Yeah. Bubba likes to dig big holes for him.
Yeah.
And never tries to fill the hole back in.
Hmm.
And just digs deeper and
deeper. Well put, Austin.
Let me ask you this. How long will they put up with Bubba as a driver?
Oh, they love Bubba. Yeah. Look what Bubba did for the sport.
Well, that's true, right?
Not much good, but as a fan on the fan side, but they're not going to get rid of him.
No.
Mm-mm. It's going to be really interesting to see.
Not as long as Michael Jordan's involved, right?
Right. It's going to be really interesting to see how NASCAR handles this.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's Bubba Wallace. He should be suspended and fined six figures, bottom line, mm-hmm. for what he did yesterday. No question about it.
Dewey says, I'd put a knot on his head, right? Me too, Dewey. Just so you know, bud. Ain't nobody gonna make me look like a fool when it comes to shoving me around. Frog says, Bubbles is off his medicine. I don't know. Is he on medicine?
I don't know.
Well, he's claimed to be depressed, and I don't ever want to make that sound like it's...
No, that's a serious thing.
I'm not talking down on that. There are people out there who have that issue, but we see Bubba, you know, try to play a lot of different cards, and I think it's a card he might be trying to play off of, too.
Yeah, no doubt about it. All right, well, we'll talk about that in a little bit more on Wednesday. Steve Post joins us on Wednesday. We'll talk to Lee Spencer at some point during the week. We'll try to talk to her about it as well. Stephanie here. She said, it shouldn't be any different for any driver. Unfortunately, it is, and for all the wrong reasons. You got a point there, Stephanie, no doubt. So, all right, we want to thank everybody for tuning in to today's show. We're going to do it all over again tomorrow at 12 noon Central Time. Tomorrow, Blake Hahn is going to join us. We'll talk about his back-to-back wins down at Devil's Bowl Speedway. And at one day this week, we will have James McFadden on talking about his win out at Lakeside Speedway as well. We'll also try to get a late model driver on to talk about this weekend. A lot of great racing going on in this area. Humboldt, 81, US 36. A lot of great late model action around this area this weekend. We'll be talking about that and more right here on Mostly Motorsports. It's all been brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. For Austin O'Neill, for Kirk Elliott, I'm Scott Traylor saying thanks for joining us. We'll see you tomorrow.
One of the main reasons for poor vehicle performance is a dirty fuel system. It can cause decreased fuel economy and actually do harm to your engine over time. By adding Lucas Fuel Treatment to your vehicle, it cleans and lubricates the entire fuel system. Pump, carburetors, fuel injectors, and valves as you drive. It also improves your vehicle's performance. It's a non-solvent product designed to protect both gasoline and diesel engines. Lucas Fuel Treatment. It works.
Go harder, faster, stronger with Rod and Supply. Whether you are running industrial, farming equipment, or a race car, Rod and Supply has the assortment of rod ends, radius rods, and specialty products that will help you lead the field in performance. Our superior design means our rod ends last longer and perform better, giving you the edge on the track and saving you money. Contact Rod and Supply or order online today at rodandsupply.com. We don't just sell them, we race them. Rodandsupply.com, serving the racing community for over 30 years.
Race fans, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum is open 7 days a week, year-round, for you to come in and check out all of the wonderful race cars on display in the museum. And our online store at SprintCarStuff.com is open 24 hours a day for you to check out everything that we have in stock for Sprint Car fans. Whether it's for a birthday, anniversary, or Christmas, SprintCarStuff.com has it all. That's at the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville.
At Lucas Oil, we take pride in creating problem-solving products to make your car care easier. We protect your vehicle and make it run longer so you can focus on the things that matter most. Whether it's commuting to work, visiting a loved one, taking the kids where they need to go, going to the big game, or anywhere life takes you, Lucas Oil is committed to getting you there for all of life's important moments. Lucas Oil, it works.